Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. January was National Mentoring Month, and there's a very big reason why we have a month to celebrate mentoring, actually many reasons. According to Leadership Oakland, research shows that youth who spend time with an adult mentor regularly for at least 1 year are 46% less likely than their peers to start using drugs, 27% less likely to start drinking, 52% less likely to skip a day of school, and 37% less likely to skip a class. In a state where we spend more money on prisons than schools, youth mentorship programs seem more critical than ever. On today's Your Call, we are talking to mentors and mentees about the impact of these relationships. Today, we are joined by Teresa Jehanger. She works for the San Francisco Unified School District as a central office administrator. She's also a mentor with Mentoring for Success. This is a school-based mentoring program that provides students in 36 schools with mentors. And Teresa joins me here in studio. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Great to have you. We're also joined by Becky Reed. She's a mentor with 10,000 Degrees. That's a mentoring program that puts 10,000 students from low-income communities on the path to a college degree. Becky has been working with her mentee, Blanca, who is also with us today, since the summer of 2011. Hi, Becky. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And Blanca is a senior at Novato High. Blanca is a dreamer, an undocumented student who has been granted a temporary social security number and work permit to continue her education, and she plans to become a nurse. Hi, Blanca. Thank you for coming in. So, first off, mentoring is such an amazing program. When you look at what we're dealing with right now, with so many budget cuts, families struggling, teachers are being asked to do more on a regular basis. Talk a little bit about why mentoring programs are so important when you look at what we're facing and how they are helping fill in some of those gaps. Becky, why don't we start off with you?
Okay, with me starting at the junior, in high school level. I am a mother. I have two kids who recently graduated from college, and I know how much it took for them and how much it helped that their dad and I had been to college and had some understanding of this maze of the process to get through. And it's hard enough to do for a kid with all of that. For someone who's the first, and 10,000 Degrees mostly serves kids who they will be the very first person in their whole extended family to ever go to college. So to have that with, loving, wonderful parents, but who have not gone to college and don't know that whole process, I mean, the maze is hard enough anyway. I can't imagine doing it without some adults in your life. And so I'm just one of the many adults. Blanca has wonderful counselors and teachers, and she has a network of people to help her get through this maze.
And did you know much about mentoring before you got involved?
No. A friend of mine, who may be listening, Ruth was on, she was a mentor, and she came and spoke at a luncheon I attended about mentoring, and it just seemed like I was an empty nester. My kids had gone off to college and seemed like the perfect volunteer opportunity for me, and I'm now, an advocate trying to get other people to be mentors because it's really a lot of fun. I've told people that my own kids would not even let me read their college essays. They were very independent. We have a wonderful relationship, but most kids I know would not let their parents read their essays. Mm. Blanca not only lets me read her essays, she takes my advice. So it's very fun for a mentor. I mean, you get someone who's, you get another daughter, you get to have, this loving relationship, and you get to give advice, and who doesn't love to do that?
And you spend a day a week together?
Generally, day a week together. You don't have to as a mentor, but we also work together tutoring her AP history class and working for practicing for the SAT and applying for, now it's applying for schools and for every scholarship that we can possibly find in the Western United States. It's very hard. If you're not an athlete, you can't get a free ride to college. So it's a matter of applying to every scholarship there is.
Right. And Blanca, how did you find out about this mentoring program?
It was 10,000 Degrees. It was a summer institute that I didn't know that we had to get a mentoring. But at the end of the week, we had the chance to have a mentor, and I was so excited, and I didn't know who it was until I met Becky, and until now, it's just great.
So talk about what the experience has been like for you.
Well, definitely my grades have improved since I've been with Becky. She has helped me with last year with AP History. It was a really challenging class. It was like the college articles that we had to read and books. So I asked vocabulary questions, but she has really, really helped me a lot.
And Teresa, what are your thoughts on just the importance of mentoring at a time when, you know, schools are so strapped and families are strapped and might not have as much time to spend with their children?
Yeah, I think it's so important, especially for our students now, to have a caring adult in their lives and as many caring adults as they possibly can. I mentor a student in an elementary school in San Francisco Unified, and just the fact that I show up every week is so huge. Having that consistency in her life, she knows every Friday at lunchtime that I'll be there in the cafeteria waiting for her. She always looks for me and she jumps up when she sees me. She usually has a story to tell, you know, about her week, what she's looking forward to on the weekend. She knows we're always going to play a game. We're always going to talk about what are her plans for the weekend. And she, you know, her teachers say she looks forward to it. It sounds really simple, but, you know, it's all about that positive relationship with an adult that they can look up to, I think.
And so talk a little bit about what you do together.
So it's during her lunch period. So usually she'll bring her lunch out to a picnic table if it's not raining. I bring some books. I always bring Uno because that's her favorite game, and we do whatever it is she wants to do. So it's not about saying, you know, how, you know, let's work on your homework. You know, I'm not a tutor. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a disciplinarian. It's just about whatever it is that she wants to do that's positive for our relationship. So, and in that, you know, with elementary students, they're not going to come to you and talk and have a conversation at a table like an adult would. They're going to talk through play. And so we, you know, build our relationship through playing games and reading books together.
And I understand there was an event that took place a couple of weeks ago with Mentoring for Success. And there's actually a long waiting list of students who want mentors.
Yeah, there are. Currently, our school district has 738 students that have a mentor, and there are more waiting. So we would love to have more caring adults that just want to connect with students. You know, the reason I got into it is because I'm now a central office administrator, and I've had that job for the last 4 years, and I started to feel really disconnected to my work. My work, you know, I got into this work because I enjoy working with students, and in central office, you don't have that connection with students on a daily basis, and I really said to myself, you know, why am I here? And I found the mentoring program, and it's just been great. It's been great for me, selfishly, you know, to reconnect with students.
I understand there are actually 1,000 students on this waiting list.
Yes, I believe so.
Wow, that's a lot of students.
Yeah.
Well, and so we'll talk about what it takes to be a mentor, but I'd love to hear from you. If you've mentored, if you've been a mentee, what has your experience like? And if you'd like to call in and talk about the value of mentoring, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. If you know of a great mentoring program out there, we'd love to hear from you. As we just heard, Mentoring for Success, it's a school-based mentoring program that provides students in 36 schools with mentors. There are 1,000 students on the waiting list. I bet we've got some listeners who probably would be amazing mentors. You can also leave a comment at yourcallradio.org. So what does it take to be a good mentor? Teresa, what would you say?
I would say, you know, you want to have a connection with a student. You want to see life from a different perspective. It always puts life into perspective for me. You know, we're always focused on ourselves and our work, and just connecting with a young person is such a different way of being. And I think, you know, in our society today, we're go, go, go. And sometimes it's nice to just take a break and play and connect at their level. So, you know, if you're looking to have a positive influence on a student, and also for them to have a positive influence on you, I think it's a great experience.
What would you add to that, Becky?
I think that it is something that virtually anybody can do. One of the beauties of mentoring, and I want to encourage anyone who's retired or semi-retired to consider it too. It does not have to be someone, certainly doesn't need to be someone straight out of school. When I travel, we connect by email, you know, we work our schedule around our lives. When she's really busy with tests or something, we set a different date. There are a lot of volunteer opportunities that don't allow that, first of all, and this is something one-on-one that you can work around your life. But I think all it takes is being willing to be there for them. You don't have to be brilliant. You don't have to have all the answers. You just have to listen and be willing to have a relationship.
And what is it like for you, Blanca? We talk about the importance of having some consistency, and you meet once a week. And so talk a little bit about how that's helped you with, you know, applying for college and trying to find these scholarships. And then you're also dealing with the issues of being a dreamer.
Right. Well, definitely with schoolwork, it's been a challenging for me, especially because I'm reading really, really hard novels, and so Becky has helping me with the reading and understanding what it's about. And actually too, with the application to school, I had time to organize myself and keep up with the deadlines. So Becky has been there for me, telling me when it's due, sending me emails and calling me, texting me. So it's someone there who is pushing me to keep up with my work, so it's been great. So
and what do your parents think of this experience?
They're like, I wish I could help you, but I'm thankful that Becky is helping you in everything that you can, that she can. So they're just great, and they're just thankful with Becky that she's there for me.
Well, let's hear from a high school mentor calling in. Let's go to Kevin in San Francisco. Hi, Kevin. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I actually had a mentor in high school rather than being one, and I think it saved me from being a truant from school because I wasn't going. And for me, it was a older lady in the school's guidance counseling office, and really it makes me think this is what guidance counseling should be, a monthly check-in where the students, it would help discourage truancy and skipping school. And it gives a chance for the to check in with a student and let them know that there is life out there that you can't see when you're a teenager. You know, the future is now, and you can't imagine being an adult, especially when you're troubled at making it that far. And they just don't take advantage of that time. They have kids in school when they're in these big classes, and they get lost.
Right.
And I know as a truant, once I missed the first month of a startup semester in the fall, it was lost. I could never catch up, and it made me disruptive in class and not able to succeed. And just to be able to turn kids around and see that they have value and talents, and to look for individual things within them and ways they can, you know, make a living in the world, it just means so much. So,
yeah.
You know, I really want to encourage, you know, guidance counseling departments in this era of, you know, budgets and cutbacks, and that's one of the first departments to get cut, to really have that as a monthly check-in for students where they have an hour or a half hour to talk and assess what is interesting.
Yeah, it's such a great point, because we're connected to a school here, Saliburton High, and sometimes I'll talk to the students about what they're learning during the day, and sometimes they say it doesn't really apply to what they deal with at home. A lot of them live in low-income communities. And you make a good point about the counselors, because the ratio is just so off balance. And Teresa, I understand you have an interesting story about working with your mentee about what she was doing last summer.
Oh, yeah. So I checked. So I've been working with my mentee for about 10 months last year around May, and I started to think about, you know, what she was going to do over the summer. And I asked her what she was looking forward to, and she said she wasn't sure, that she didn't really like the summer because there wasn't anything going on. And so I started asking around in the school district to see if there was any programs that would be available to her. And I found a scholarship for a summer camp. And I filled out the forms, and she got the scholarship, and her caregiver was so excited that she was excited about something in the summer, and she was also excited to have a week off, which is really great. And my mentee went up to the Redwoods for summer camp, and she just loved it, and it was totally different than her day-to-day experience, you know, on Muni and in the city.
Wow, yeah.
She got to unplug, and when I saw her in the fall, I said, how was camp? And she said, it was so great. I got a free t-shirt, and I never had to check my clock. She loved not keeping time, so it was just...
And she's young.
She's young, yeah.
See, this is the kind of thing that you hope would be available in school, to where there are enough resources to say, all right, what are you doing this summer? Let's help you find a program.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just not the case.
Well, in this program, if she was, she got a scholarship to go for free. And had she had to pay, it would have been about $600 to $700 just for a week. And, you know, that's quite a cost for most families in San Francisco. So,
And do either of you know what the status of mentoring is like across the country? I mean, are there a lot of programs that connect students with adults?
I really don't know. Someone from 10,000 Degrees could answer. I'm a volunteer, and it's my first situation with it. It's 10,000 Degrees and yours, are they the only two programs in the Bay Area? I doubt that there's a lot of programs across the country. You work in education.
Yeah,
you?
It's not the only mentoring program in the Bay Area, but I do know that we have, I think, the most amount of students in the city. We're serving close to 1,000, and there's 1,000 on the waiting list.
Yeah, I mean, I know that there are a lot. If you go, I used to go on Craigslist looking for these things, and there were a ton. They'd say needed mentor for various groups in the Mission District, for example. I just would love to know what a waiting list would look like across the country. I mean, if you're talking just 1,000 in the San Francisco Unified, I'm sure that there's probably waiting lists across the country.
Mm-hmm. Blanca has a friend at her school who's in the 10,000 Degrees program, but even this program doesn't have enough mentors. So Blanca got a mentor, but her friend didn't. So I don't know what the numbers are. But if even a program as active and as successful, 10,000 Degrees has an amazing success rate. I think, I hope I got these numbers right, 83% of students in the 10,000 Degrees program graduate from a four-year college versus 23% of the same population in the country who are not in 10,000 Degrees. Entering, I mean, what else could you do that has that much impact on a person's life? And with the caller, I agree totally that the counselors should have the time to meet with all their students once a month. And I also know the workloads these counselors have, I mean, the numbers of students they have on their workload. I know they'd love to meet with their students once a month. If we don't have the money in education to pay for that, then we have to fill in the gap with volunteers.
And that is Becky Reed. She's a mentor with 10,000 Degrees, a mentoring program that puts 10,000 students from low-income communities on the path to a college degree. These are students who are going to college for the first time in their families. Becky has been working with her mentee, Blanca, who is also with us today. Blanca is a senior at Novato High. She's a dreamer, an undocumented student who has been granted a temporary social security number and work permit to continue her education, and she plans to become a nurse. And Teresa Jahanger works for the San Francisco Unified School District as a central office administrator, and she is a mentor with Mentoring for Success. This is a school-based program that provides students in 36 schools with mentors. Again, 1,000 students are on a waiting list. So if you are interested in becoming a mentor, and it is an amazing experience, you can go to our website, yourcallradio.org. And if you have any questions about what it takes or just what's involved, we'd love to hear from you. And if you've been a mentor or a mentee, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website so others can see it, yourcallradio.org. And thank you again for calling in. Actually, Becky, did you want to respond to Kevin, who just talked about how important it was for him to have a mentor?
Yes, I can't imagine. I mean, I was not a student who took off, but I know even my daughters who were wonderful, wonderful students by junior year or so, so many, you know, them and so many of their friends. It's such an sophomore, junior year, such a difficult time for many students, and so easy to kind of turn paths and to just have someone who's going to be there that you know you have to report to, that Blanca never skips school and is this wonderful student, but she also knows I'm going to ask her. And so it takes away that little bit of, you know, urge to go off the beaten path when you know there's someone's going to say, how was school this week? How did the SAT go? Did you study last night? Did you write your essay? And she's very nice. She says I'm helping her. The truth is I nag her. But but it works, and it's not terrible. I'm not her mom, so it doesn't have that kind of impact that lets her mom now have to be the one to nag her about these things. But I know that how hard it is to... I started a semester in college one time, and I missed the first 2 weeks because of a death in the family. I had to drop out that quarter. It is so hard to start once you've missed a few weeks, and I can just imagine what it's like for high school students when you have so few skills, you know, life skills that you're still developing, and to have... I can appreciate how hard it was for that student, and I'm so glad he found a mentor.
Yes. Well, thank you for calling in, Kevin. And we'll take a few more calls before break. Let's go to Renee in Oakland. Hi, Renee.
Hi. My name's Renee, and I'm a tutor mentor for some individuals in the Bhutanese Nepali community. And I work with the organization Refugee Transitions.
Yes.
And it's just a wonderful organization. They match us. They train us. They give us background to the countries where the people come from. And some of us work in their international high school. Some of us work at home. And I've been doing it about 4 years, and I have gained so much. I know the family I work with feels like I've given a lot, but I'll never feel like I gave more than I get. I get so much from their friendship and their warmth and learning about their culture and their family.
And what is this program called?
Refugee Transition.
Okay, great. We'll put a link on our website after the show. Thank you for calling, Renee.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And we have an email from Erin, who's with Mentoring for Success. She says, in response to Kevin's call, San Francisco Unified has a group mentoring program called Project Arrive that specifically targets youth with a history of low attendance in eighth grade. Many of the mentors are counselors, student advisors, and wellness coordinators. We have worked with them to rework how they do their jobs, and many of them have found this to be a proactive way to address school disconnection for students who struggle with attendance. And she says that Burton has 50 youth in this small group mentoring program. Sounds like an incredible program. Thank you for writing in, Erin. And you can write in if there's a mentoring program that you know about that you'd like us to talk about. The email is feedback@yourcallradio.org. If you are a mentor or a mentee, we'd love to hear from you. What was your experience like? When you look at the research, it's pretty amazing. Research shows that youth who spend time with an adult regularly for at least 1 year are 46% less likely than their peers to start using drugs, 27% less likely to start drinking, 52% less likely to skip a day of school. So clearly, the percentages are so incredibly high. And if you have any stories you'd like to share, we would love to hear from you. It's your call. We'll be back after this.
Your call is better when you get involved. If you have a question, idea, or experience to contribute to today's conversation, call 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-TALK. You can also send emails to feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment at the show's website, yourcallradio.org.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, it's our Friday Media Roundtable. We'll have a conversation about media coverage of the DOJ's leaked papers on the targeted killing of American citizens. We will also talk about John Brennan's confirmation hearings. This is President Obama's pick for CIA director. And we will discuss the economic crisis in Greece. We'll be joined by McClatchy's Mark Siebel and NPR's Sylvia Poggioli. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today, we are talking about the value of mentoring. January was National Mentoring Month, and as we've been mentioning, there are many reasons to celebrate mentoring. You can find more about the programs that we mention on today's show at yourcallradio.org. As we said, there are 1,000 students on the waiting list of Mentoring for Success. This is a school-based mentoring program that provides students in 36 schools with mentors. Teresa Jehanger is a mentor with Mentoring Success. She works for the San Francisco Unified School District as a central office administrator. And I would also like to welcome Lori Varga to the show. And she is also a mentor with Mentoring for Success. She's been mentoring a high school student. Hi, thanks for coming in.
Hi, thank you.
It's great to have you. And we're also joined by Becky Reed, a mentor with 10,000 Degrees. This is a program that puts 10,000 students from low-income communities on the path to a college degree. She is mentoring Blanca, who is also in studio today. She's a senior at Novato High and a dreamer who hopes to become a nurse. And before we go back to calls, I wanted to ask you, Lori, I understand that you are very familiar with a lot of mentoring programs in the area.
Yes. So within San Francisco, we actually are collaborating with over 25 different mentoring agencies. And so we formed the San Francisco Mentor Coalition. And just recently, last Thursday, actually, we partnered with the DA's office here in San Francisco, and we had a recruitment event at Marcus Books to recruit more mentors for our students and youth living in San Francisco.
So what does it take to recruit more mentors at a time when 1,000 students are on the waiting list?
Over 1,000 sounds like a lot of students. We recruit from not only our schools, but from within the city of San Francisco. So depending on where people live, they can get involved with the different agencies. So within San Francisco, we partner with San Francisco Education Fund. They do a lot of our background clearance and training. So that way someone from the community can become a mentor and learn a little bit about how that process works and to work with youth, since staff are used to working with students. And so this way it gives them a little piece, an idea of how to work with students and adolescents especially.
And so you have to go through a background check. That's common.
Yes.
Anything else?
Every agency works a little bit differently. For the most part, there is an interview process, and so they want to get to know who the mentor is, so what type of a student or a youth would be a good match for them. And actually, ethnicity is not as big of a deal as a lot of people think that it is. It's really about the caring connection that an adult can have with a young person.
Why do you say that?
A lot of times people think that if I don't look like the young person, they're not going to trust me. And that's actually not true. A lot of research has come out showing that it's in those times of needs when an adult is there, that's what sustains a mentoring relationship.
Oh, interesting. Any other interesting data you can share with us?
Oh, we have a ton. Within San Francisco Unified, we've actually been able to show that students involved in our program, over 40% of them have decreased the amount of unexcused absences, and about the same amount have actually improved their GPA. So that's for our middle and our high school students. So mentoring is definitely making a difference in our students.
And Blanca, Lori was just talking about trust. What was that like with you when you first met Becky?
Well, at first, I didn't have that much trust, but then as I got to know her, then I did. Like she said, I gave the chance to her to read my essays and tell her my opinions and sometimes my feelings, and so I gained a lot of trust to her. I gave her a lot of trust, and then, So.
Well, we've got a number of callers on the line. Hopefully some will become mentors. And so let's hear, or I think a lot of them are mentors. Let's hear from Steve in Oakland. Hi, Steve. Hello, Steve. Let's go to Kathy in Oakland. Hi, Kathy. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks. My story is a little different in that I was contacted by a friend in France who worked with a woman and her daughter wanted to come to the States. And I said, yeah, fine, okay. And she came and lived with me for a year. She spoke no English, so it took many months to get the communication. And then, as your young lady just said, develop the trust, which is so important. But basically, it's creating a safe environment. And then, you know, I'm not a tutor or anything, and I just kept telling her, you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she had flunked her baccalaureate, which is like the SATs in France. And if you don't pass that, because the government pays for university, you don't go to university. So in order for her to move forward in her life, she needed to pass this. So her job was to come here, study hard, and take it here so that she could continue. And I would come home from work and just say, you know, what did you study? And you know, you can do it.
Right.
And I found out she didn't believe she could do it. She never believed she was smart. And so I just kept telling her, you can do it. And she's now working on her master's.
Wow.
She went through her bachelor's and finished it. And I said, well, keep going. You know, the government pays for it. Keep going. And she said, oh, but we'll be very hard. And I said, of course, but it's worth it. Hmm. So it's hard, but you are young, and it's a short time of your life, and you keep going. And so now she's working on her master's.
Well, great story. Thank you so much for calling in, Kathy. Sure. And Kathy makes a really good point, because Blanca, when I was reading testimonials from mentors and mentees, the one thing that I read over and over again is mentors said, it's important to let kids, students, young girls, know that they matter. What are your thoughts on that?
We do have a lot of stress in school, and so we as students, we do matter, especially when we have a lot of pressure in our lives. I think it's really important for us to have someone, an adult, like a mentor, to be there and help us when there's no one. When our parents can't help us because of their education, they didn't have an opportunity to go to school. But it's great that someone there to take some of the roles of the parents, that they can help us with schoolwork, especially when a student is taking a challenging class, like AP U.S. History, like AP Biology. So it's really important to have a mentor. Especially in high school.
All right. Well, thank you again for calling in, Kathy. Let's go next to Linda in Richmond. Hi, Linda.
Hi. I'm calling because mentoring is near and dear to my heart. I started mentoring in the late 80s in a program for foster youth that I'm still tied to. And I'm sure the lady that mentioned the coalition in San Francisco probably knows about the Independent Living Skills Program that is working with kids 15 to 19 that are foster youth. I also mentor at a high school in West Contra Costa School District, which I cannot name, but I have helped students and the young woman that talked about trust, how you build up trust. Yes, and I built up trust with 5 students that worked for me in a lunch program and started mentoring them. And I have 2 women that I still mentor that are 35 and 36 years old. I got them at 15 and a half and 16 in the foster youth program. They have gone on. One of them has gotten her master's degree and 2 BS degrees, and she's in Missouri. The other is here. I meet with her once a week. So I don't know what West Contra Costa School District has as far as mentoring, but after today, I'm going to check. But it is important, and it is important, the trust issue. And the ethnicity does not matter, because I am now mentoring Hispanic, Pacific Islander youth, and African American.
And what is the program called that connects you with foster youth?
It's the Independent Living Skills Program.
Okay.
And all of the counties have it. City and County of San Francisco. I was involved with Coco County, also known as Contra Costa County, and Alameda County. But all of the counties have it.
Well, it sounds like it's been an amazing experience for you, Linda.
It has been, and the teenagers, the kids, the numbers have increased as far as graduating, and these students learn what tools are available for them to utilize and help them be successful. And that's another thing that's important. When you mentor, you help the youth find the tools and to utilize what is available to them that they may not know about.
Right. Well, thank you so much for calling in.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And we'll put a link to that organization on our website right after the show. Let's go next to Tainby in Alameda County. Hi, Tainby. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you so much for doing the show. It's such an important topic. I'm calling from the ORIMI Mentoring Program, and we are in Oakland. We're part of Family Support Services of the Bay Area. And we actually serve foster youth. All of our youth are referred to us through Alameda County Social Services, so they're all in foster care. And I just had to call in because for people who are interested in listening, who are listening and are interested in becoming mentors, we too have a long waiting list, especially of boys, and really need male mentors to work with these youth. It's really important, especially for kids who are in foster care when they're moving from home to home and they might not have a lot of stability, and social workers are changing and schools are changing and therapists are changing. Having a mentor just to be that consistent person who they can call on no matter what changes they're going through is really important. So I just had to put our plea out there.
Yes. And how long is your waiting list?
Right now, I think we have about 50 youth who are waiting to be matched with mentors, and those are just youth who have actually made it onto our waiting list.
And why do you think it's harder to get male mentors?
You know, I don't really understand why it's harder to get male mentors. I think part of it is just that there seems to be an overall lack of male role models in the community, and so maybe more boys are being referred to us. So I can't say why, but I can't say why women sign up more frequently than men do. I don't want to say anything inappropriate about that.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And we'll definitely put a link out. ORIMI? Is that how you say it?
O-R-E-M-I.
Okay. Got it. So
www.orimi.info.
And they also have a waiting list. There are a lot of students, a lot of children in need of mentors. Do you want to jump in, Becky?
Yes, something that ORIMI just talked about, the tools that you would get, and I know it's true with 10,000 degrees, and I'm sure it's true with all of them. Mentors, a potential mentor, shouldn't worry that they don't know how to do it, because I don't need to know what the deadlines are or what I need to do. 10,000 degrees trains me. I get a weekly email reminding me that this deadline is coming up so that I can pass it on. You know, you really don't have to know anything to get started, because your agency will give you all the training you need.
Well, and also if in this area with so much culture and there's so many free things to do, you can just take students to museums and plays and on a walk at the beach or the park. And in many cases, they just want to get out and just see the city that they live in. I mean, I mentored for a while, and the little girl I mentored had never been to the beach. And so we went to the beach. She'd never been to a play. We went to a play. It was actually fun because you kind of got to know what it was like to be in this little person's world. Do you want to also comment, Lori, about just the difficulties in finding male mentors and why that is?
Yeah. In San Francisco Unified, we have the added benefit of being at a school site. So we get a lot of our mentors from school-based staff, but we also need more men from the community to become a part. And I think the last caller was accurate that there's not a lot of positive male role models in the community. And so sometimes men think, you know, the comments that I've heard from some men is that I'm not good enough, or I haven't gone to college. And so why is my story any better than anybody else? And so what we really try to do is to say that the stories that people have walked through within their lives become that important learning tool, and that they can share those stories with young people as well.
All right. Well, thank you again for calling. And today we are talking about the value of mentoring. It is so important. And as we have been hearing, there are a lot of students out there that would like to be connected to a mentor. So if you're interested in this, you can find a lot more information at yourcallradio.org. If you have any questions about what it takes, what our guest experience has been like, we'd love to hear from you. And if you've been a mentor or a mentee and you want to share your story, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website, yourcallradio.org. We've got just about 10 minutes left. And today we are joined by Lori Varga. She mentors with Mentoring for Success. It's a school-based program that provides students in 36 schools with mentors. More than 1,000 students are on that waiting list. We're also joined by Teresa Jehanger. She's also a mentor with Mentoring for Success, and she works for the San Francisco Unified School District as a central office administrator. Becky Reed is a mentor with 10,000 Degrees. This program puts 10,000 students from low-income communities on the path to college. Becky is currently mentoring Blanca, who's also here. She's a senior at Novato High. She is a dreamer, and her dream is to become a nurse. And we've got full lines. So clearly, people are really very interested in this topic. And let's go next to Meg in Monterey. Hi, Meg.
Hi. We started an organization in Monterey called Youth Arts Collective, YAC, and that was 13 years ago. It's an art studio for and a mentorship program for high school and college students who are just art. They just do art on their own time all the time, and they need a studio to come to, a studio of peers. That we have 60 at one time, and they have to come at least twice a week, and they are individually mentored by a few of us who are there consistently for them. Every week of the year, except for Christmas. Mm. And we have discovered that it is, our motto is, and our mission statement, as a matter of fact, is do art, be kind.
Hmm.
And so, they learn life skills, they learn art skills, job skills. They learn that they are worth something, that they have value. And we just see it in their posture almost immediately when
wow.
they start coming. And we see it in their grades. We're beginning to see our, I don't know if you call them graduates, but some of the kids that we had 13 years ago are now in their late 20s. And they just say how much they value this program. And we've also discovered that the artist community, if you mentor through art, you're mentoring their hearts and souls. Mm-hmm. We ask them to be exactly who they are when they come in, so we know who they are to mentor them. And you can't do art without being authentic anyway. So we just discover that, they give back, too. They give back their personalities. They learn to take creative risk, and they may be taking that in medicine later, in business or art. But it is an extraordinary experiment that is really working. We had no idea how well this would work.
Wow.
We discover that the artists in the community also just need a place to come that's organized like that so that they can help and do workshops. So they have lots of mentors.
Yeah, it sounds like a great program, and thank you so much for calling in, Meg. We have a question from Sandra, who says she wishes she had a mentor. She couldn't stand the line, but she wanted to know, how long do the mentors stay with their mentees?
In San Francisco, we ask that our mentors sign up for a minimum of one calendar year. So even though we are a school-based program, we want our mentors to stay in contact with the students over the summertime. So it's a minimum of a year, 1 hour a week.
And Becky?
At 10,000 Degrees, you could start with a junior or a senior. It works great to start as a junior. But I've been told by other, people who have gone through the program, graduated from college, they're still getting together to go to movies and plays, et cetera. And I've told Blanca, she's my baby. She'll go on to college next year, and I'll get a new mentee, but she will always be part of our family.
All right. Well, thank you for the question, Sandra. And what if you're looking for a mentor?
If you're looking for a mentor, wow. I think every kid probably is looking for a mentor. I would say just to start by asking somebody at your school and to say, you know, do you have a mentoring program? Can you connect me with one? Everybody knows about Big Brothers Big Sisters. They're a national program, but not everybody knows about YMCA's program, Building Futures. So they're another organization that's all throughout the Bay Area. There are a ton of agencies out there.
Okay. Thank you. Let's go next to Mark in Palo Alto. Hi, Mark. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you. I just want to make a couple of quick comments. I'll give you my point of reference first. I was a volunteer for 6 years with the court-appointed special advocate program. Every county in the nation typically has one. And you're trained by the court, and you actually become a court officer. And it doesn't take that much training. It's only about a month and a half. But what you do is you work with foster youth, and you write a report once every 6 months and just let the court know that everybody who's supposed to be giving that child the care that they need is actually doing it. And then the rest of your time, which is typically a few hours a week is all, you're mentoring these kids in the foster program. And I always mentored teenage kids who were like just about ready to emancipate and try to really help them through that difficult, kind of scary period. And the two observations I have is, one, for the people who feel like you're doing a lot for the kids, you are, but I always felt like I was getting more back from these kids because they enriched my life so much and just made it so much fun than I was, you know, actually giving. Mm-hmm. And then the other observation to the question about why don't more men volunteer, I actually think it's a recruitment problem. And I actually became, for a while, for 2 years, I was the president of the board on the San Mateo chapter of court-appointed special advocates. And I feel that it's a recruitment thing because in a lot of the ads that you see in print or the kind of billboards or things that you might see, it's typically a nurturing thing where they're tugging at your heartstrings. So they'll have a small child holding a teddy bear with a sad look on their face or something. If men don't respond to that, women respond to that.
Huh, interesting.
If you had, like, a guy playing basketball for a couple hours a week and it showed, like, some guy, older guy, playing hoops with a younger guy, you're more likely to get people to pay attention to the ad long enough to want to, like, look into it.
It's such a good point. What are your thoughts, Lori?
Yeah, actually, just this school year, the San Francisco Mentor Coalition, we actually partnered with somebody from Dare Mighty Things, which is out in Washington, D.C., and Brian Stanley came out and trained us and said, yes, you have to go where the men are. And Building Futures here in San Francisco actually had a three-on-three basketball kind of tournament to recruit more male mentors, and the recruitment effort worked on their part, which he's actually correct, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. Interesting point. Thank you for the call. We have an email from Elizabeth, who wanted to give a plug for the Posse, and that's a mentoring program. We'll put a link to that one. And we have another one on Facebook, Spark. Spark is lucky to work with amazing mentors across the country. Our students have so many dream careers, and our mentors make it possible for them to experience the workplace. With their mentor support, they become motivated to stay in school and achieve brighter futures. Sparkprogram.org. Thank you for those. And let's try to get in as many calls as we can, and then we'll get responses from all of you. Let's hear from China in San Rafael. Hi, China.
Hello. How are you doing today?
Good, thanks. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Oh, hello. I'm actually a college access intern for 10,000 Degrees now. I was a mentee for 10,000 Degrees, and now I am a mentor. I mentor about 60-plus junior kids from all of the schools in Marin. And, I'm doing really well right now, and I love 10,000 Degrees. It's been a pleasure working for them and a pleasure being in their program.
Great. Well, thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Thank you. And let's next go to Angie in San Jose.
Hi.
Hi.
I was mentored by my ESL teacher when I was in junior high school, and she did it just out of the goodness of her heart. And when I moved on to high school, there wasn't as much mentoring or support. But I just want to say that 1 to 2 years in junior high of having someone who showed me any kindness at all was lasting through college, and it was just such a powerful experience. I couldn't, you know, there's no words for it. And now I'm thinking about doing it myself. And two things come to mind. One is, you know, the type of training and support that's offered to prepare me for it. Mm-hmm. And also just looking back, I realized I was a really quiet kid. So I wonder, you know, as much as the list is already very huge for the mentees, if there's any kind of outreach for kids that are not as loud and squeaky but also need support.
Yeah, it's a great question. So, who'd like to take that one?
We definitely, in San Francisco, I mean, I feel bad that we're talking so much about San Francisco, but I think every agency looks at the youth that they're working with, and we prioritize our foster youth. We prioritize students that might have a disability, so an individualized education plan. We also look at attendance rates, and our school district staff are very careful about also looking at those that are not screaming out for help but need that special caring adult relationship.
Right. And we are almost out of time, but I wanted to give you the last word, Blanca, because there are so many students on the waiting list, and there are some listeners who maybe think, maybe I'll try to mentoring. What would you say to them? Why is it important to spend a couple hours a week with a student?
Well, it is important to think about mentoring, and I believe that with a mentor, your GPA will change definitely.
I know I put you on the spot.
Yeah.
But overall, it's just been a really beneficial experience for you. You said that Becky's helped you with college applications and just knowing that she's there.
Yeah, and anyone who's not looking for mentoring, they should. It's a great opportunity. It has changed my life, and I know it will change others. And so it's a great opportunity for anyone who can.
All right. Thank you so much. That is Blanca, a senior at Novato High. Becky Reed is Blanca's mentor. She's with 10,000 Degrees. And Lori Varga and Teresa Jahangar are both mentors with Mentoring for Success. And we've got a number of various mentoring opportunities at our website, yourcallradio.org. Thank you all for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. I'm Rose Aguilar. Here's what's coming up tomorrow. On the next Your Call, it's our Friday Media Roundtable. This week, we'll have a conversation about coverage of the DOJ's leaked paper on the targeted killing of American citizens. We'll also discuss coverage of the economic crisis in Greece. We'll be joined by McClatchy's Mark Siebel and NPR's Sylvia Poggioli. Where did you see the best reporting this week? It's Your Call with me, Rose Aguilar, and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To sign up for our podcast or newsletter, or to share the show on Facebook or Twitter, visit yourcallradio.org. Malihe Razazan and Ali Budner produce the show. Matt Martin is our executive producer. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer. And Debbie Kennedy is the studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.